Thanks so much. Before I get into the message, I want to have a time of prayer, but I want to just say a couple of things. First of all, I want to really thank the church for their prayers. There were many, many times when we were had to make connections, when I was pretty tired. We didn't get sick. Very thankful for that. We didn't get sick. Even if we ate the food, we didn't get sick. So thank you so much. Thank you for the I had several people say, be sure and thank your church for letting you come to Japan. We need help in Japan. People need the Lord in Japan, and there's millions of people, and they have no interest in knowing about how they can find peace. And my testimony, they say, really is very good for Japanese because they're very moral people, very hardworking, very religious, Buddhist in that sense, not that they're going all the time to the temple. And that was my testimony. I was very religious, very moral as a Jew, but I wasn't changed. And that's their point. They don't get changed. Nothing changes in them. And so that's why I think when I was there 5 years ago, they wanted me to come back to this specific rally. Want to really thank Don Robbins. Don did a tremendous service to the church by connecting the whole church with needs in the church. I call him up, and for 30 seconds, I profusely thanked him. Don, thank you. You are the glue that held the church. So I want to really thank him. Want to thank Rhonda for doing bulletins, etc., and for other people in helping in that way. Good to have Raleigh back. He had his open heart surgery, and he's here. Praise the Lord. Answer the prayer. And also, Ginny had your knee, right? She's back. She's here. Ty Yates went home, the Leggett's boy that they were having. He went home on Friday, and I saw him at St. Joe's. I was also there on Friday to see the Hohenscheitz. I had a good time with Jim, praying with him. Janice is not doing very well, and so if you can think of her. They used to be members of our church and had gone to another place of worship. Then also, Mac McDonald was in the hospital this week. He had a lot of weakness in his right side, went into the hospital, and had a really almost a full recovery. And they didn't find anything, that he'd had a stroke or anything. I mean, something from years past. But he went home, he was feeling good, he was all excited to be in church, and they gave him some medicine, and he's gotten upset from the medicine, it seems like. So pray for him. He wants to be here this morning, but let's pray for Mac in a very specific way. Also for Ines Norderhag, who's right, she was across the hall from him. We need to pray. I don't know, is Dolores Wren here this morning? Dolores. We need to pray for Dolores Wren. And I would like to ask you as a church, she's faithfully served in our church. She has physical needs. She's having tests done. And I would like for you to pray for Dolores each day, even if it is a 5-second prayer. Lord, help Dolores Wren. You may know her not as well as other people, but she, as a church, needs our prayers. Just trust me. She needs our prayers. So let's pray for Dolores in a special way. But so let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you. I thank you for the trip that Deborah and I had, and I thank you for being here back among my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who pray for us and have been there to support us. And I pray, thanking you. And for any fruit and any blessing that I was to any of those people, and Deborah as well, they were a blessing. This church was a blessing to them. They may not know it, but you know it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless this church, not for my sake, not for our sake, for Jesus' sake, but because of the blessing they've been to people in Japan in this way. And we pray, Father, for fruit. We pray that the people that heard the testimony, the faces we saw, the people who came, that you would still work in their hearts. You know where they are right now. You know what they're doing. And we pray that you would bring many people to Jesus Christ for this country. Here is China with millions of Christians, and Korea with millions of Christians, and Japan with a handful of Christians, relatively speaking. Would you please have mercy on these people in darkness, idol worshipers, real idol worshipers. Please bring them to life in Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer. I thank you for Don and his service to the church. Bless him. Bless Ginny with a full recovery with her knee. Bless Raleigh with a full recovery from his heart surgery. Bless Mac. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to him, and give him a full recovery. Be with Ty and give him a full recovery. Thank you for answers to prayer for these people. We pray for the Hohenscheitz, that you'd help them in a very difficult time from their motorcycle accident. We pray for Ines Norderhag, and we pray this morning for Dolores Wren, Lord. We thank you for her. We thank you that you love her very dearly, and she has served you and known you. And Father, we pray in this time that you would draw very close to her and put your healing hand on her, and may she really sense your tenderness, your grace, your mercy, and more than anything, your presence. We don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but we want to see you involved in it. You're a specialist at taking care of your children, and we will ask you, more than us, that you would take care of her in the days ahead. Would you minister to her? Would you comfort her? Would you guide her in a very special, special way? She is weak, but you are strong. And we put our hope and our confidence. What we're doing right now is the best thing we can do, which is putting her in the loving hands of Jesus Christ. Be with Ben as well, and draw them very close to each other and to yourself. And so, Lord, we open up your word this morning. We pray you'd speak to us this morning. We thank you for Grace Church. We thank you for the building that's begun. And in a few months, we'll have a beginning of a new ministry, Lord willing, an associate pastor, as we begin our search. And so, Lord, guide us in all these things. You have made all this possible, Lord Jesus. This is your church. You're the head of the church. You said you will build your church in Japan and around the world. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would begin your construction work. Do your work. Use us. In spite of us, use us for your glory and honor, which you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let me share with you that, as you know, for a number of months before I left, we were in a series called Killing Giants. And just for you to know, there are three more sermons in this series. There's a number of people that ordered tapes for the whole series, and they paid money for it. And so I feel like, well, they ought to get their money's worth and give them the whole package. So there's three more sermons. There's one on loneliness this morning. There's one on grief next week. And the last sermon on killing giants is the most ultimate sermon, which is procrastination. Procrastination. If you don't deal with your giant, then you've got another giant, which is procrastination. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to deal with what your giants are in your life, because if you keep putting it off, you've got another problem. It's called putting it off. So that's going to be our last sermon, 3 weeks. Today, two more Sundays, and then we're going to start a whole new exciting series from the New Testament. Again, the principle of this is that in Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses to send people to the land of Canaan to spy out the land, 12 spies. Two of them came back and says, we can do it. Let's go into this land. God promised it for us. 10 of them said, no, there are giants in the land, and they will devour us, and they will intimidate us, and we're like grasshoppers. And so they didn't go, and so for 40 years they wandered. And I said that that's a very good example of the Christian life. Jesus says we can have life and have it abundantly, and we can be mighty with him spiritually. It's not having pink Cadillacs. It's spiritual power, spiritual strength. And because we have giants in our lives like lust or anger or bitterness or depression or loneliness or pain or fear, these are things we've studied already, that we wander. There are things that intimidate us. These things control you. And they say to you, you think you're in control? You're not in control. I'm in control. I'm going to tell you what you're going to be fearful of. I'm going to tell you don't get on an airplane and you can't have a ministry. I'm going to tell you you should be depressed. Look what you don't have. I'm going to tell you you ain't got what someone else has and comparison. So these things cripple us. And unless we actually go and decide to, like David, kill this giant and confront it, you're going to be ruled by it. So we're going to talk about loneliness this morning. Now, again, I want to emphasize that you may not be lonely. You may not have experienced loneliness, but you may know somebody who's experienced loneliness. You may have a distant relative or a son or an unmarried or someone in jail or someone in Iraq. So again, you know, hold on in there, because some of the things we talk about, I think, apply, but some of the things may not apply to you this morning, but you may know somebody as well. I want to come to this subject from many angles. I'm going to say almost the same thing about four or five times, but hopefully from a different position so that you can see how it can apply to us this morning. Loneliness. What's the description of loneliness? Being alone, solo, isolated, separated, solitaire. My wife likes to play solitaire. And how do you play solitaire? Well, you don't need anybody to play solitaire. You don't need a husband. You don't need a Sam. You don't need a, you can just do it by yourself. You're all by yourself. A lack of companionship. So let me read to you what Mr. Swindoll mentioned about this loneliness. Listen to what he said. There's simply no other anguish like the consuming anguish of loneliness. Ask the inmate in prison this evening. Think of all the people in prison, and there's no one there. I mean, they don't love their roommate. They don't have their roommate as a comfort for them. They're gone. They're separated. They're alone. Or the uniformed man thousands of miles away in some sea or some bar tonight. People think of the people in Iraq, Afghanistan. Or the divorcee in that apartment all by herself. Or the one who has just buried his or her life's companion. Or the couple whose arms ache for the recent child that was taken from them. Or even the single career-minded person who prepares a meal for one and then goes to bed early alone, surrounded by the mute memories of yesterday's songs and today's disappointment. I've crossed paths with many of these people. One man wrote, "No one but the lonely heart can feel my anguish. Like the little Norwegian widow in Boston who now lives only with pictures of the person that God took. Like the young nurse who, after a shattered romance and a broken engagement, went back to the Midwest to start all over again. Like the alcoholic who wept on his desk one wintry morning, clutching the note from his wife and kids that said goodbye forever. Like the husband beside the fresh grave of his windswept hill who cried on my shoulders, 'What now?' Like the disillusioned teenage girl away from home, pregnant with child, wondering, 'How can I face tomorrow all by myself?'" So, you know, there are many people who are isolated and alone. So how do you find this giant? How do you have this feeling that kind of hurts you and crushes you? Well, all you need to do is be alone. The prisoner is alone. He's in prison in that sense. The person is in Iraq. Now, you may say, well, they're not really alone. There's other people in Iraq. There's other military. There's other people in prison. You may feel alone. Well, there's other people in church this morning. But that's the problem. That's the problem. You see, just being alone, this giant will come to you. But when this giant comes to you, he's not there to keep you company. This giant is there to inflict pain on you, because what you don't need is companionship. What you need is someone to love. Someone to love. You see, if the person is in prison, his loved ones are taken away. Now, he may have a roommate. He may have other people. He may have other African Americans or Americans or white Americans or other ethnic or Hispanic or Chinese. I mean, he may find, but that's not the one that says, this is one that I love. This is someone that I love who's been taken away or separated from me. The person in Iraq could have thousands of other people, but his wife's not there because the wife is the one that I love. My children are the ones that I love. My mom and dad is someone that I love. So you see, it's not companionship that's the hurting issue here. It's being separated from someone that you love. Look at this, if I can. Let me just move the... In Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said to him, "It was not good for the man to be alone." God's plan is that we're not alone. Now, you may say, in a sense... Let me tell you something. Look, it was not good for man to be alone. I will make a help suitable for him. Now, in a sense, that statement is true and not true, because man was not alone. You know who Adam had to keep him company? He had all the animals. He had all the animals. He had dogs and parakeets, right? He had little turtles. Think of all the things we get to try to keep us company. You get a parakeet, you get a dog, you get a cat, you get four dogs, you get three cats, you know. But that's not is that a companion? Well, Adam had a lot of things he had to keep him company. In fact, he named all the animals. That's how well he knew them. But it was not suitable for him. It was not suitable for him. We were not made to be alone. It was not good for man to be alone. I will make him a help suitable for him. And what does it say? Let me see if this moves on. It's not moving. Oh, it is? Oh, then. I'm sorry. Thank you. The man said, this is Genesis 2:23, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." You see who was given to him? Someone that he loved. "This is now bone of my bone not a parakeet, not a dog. I'm not saying this to be funny, but this is now someone that I love, that's me, that's part of me, that has an interest in me, that knows me, that communes with me, that talks with me. This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. My friend, loneliness followeth me. Loneliness is dispelled when we find someone to love. That's why when we don't have that person to love, and as we say this with the people in prison, the people in Iraq, I mean, just think of it. If you go over the list here that Mr. Swindoll talked about, what does it say? It talks about the woman in Boston who now only has pictures. You can't kiss a picture. It's not like kissing a real husband or wife in that sense, right? Or the young nurse who now has been shattered by romance and a broken engagement, who now has to start all over again alone in the Midwest. It's now like the alcoholic who, after clutching the note, has received the note that says from his wife and his kids, goodbye forever. You see, he's been separated from the one who he loves. So it's not companionship that kills this giant. It's finding someone to love that kills this giant. I said here in my notes, 1 plus 1, that's you that's alone, and the giant that comes to keep you company doesn't equal 2. But when you find somebody to love, that's you alone, and you find somebody to love, it doesn't equal 3. You and the giant and the one to love, the giant leaves. You've been healed. There's a healing that goes on. There's a position that goes on. You need to find someone that's going to fill that gap and someone to love in that way. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes. There was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all of his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, and for what am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure? This too is vanity, and it is a grievous task. See, here is a man that's alone. He has no dependent, nor son, nor brother. There's nothing. So what is he doing? He says, what am I doing? I'm alone. The next verse, that's verse 8. Look at verse 9. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good return for their labor. Verse 9 to 10. For if either of them falls, the one will live. This is the reason why God made a helpmeet for you and me. That's why God gave us somebody that we can love. That's why God has positioned us in this way that we're not alone. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Woe to him who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if 2 lie down together, they keep warm. But how can 1 be warm alone? You can't. But with 2, you can. You see what he's saying here? You see the principle of how God has made us from Genesis 2 and why we were made not to be alone. And if 1 can overpower him who is alone, 2 can resist him. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly torn away. So let me share with you. The purpose of this message is to show you that if you are alone, you can identify with these people that we've spoken about. And let me tell you something. You may not be alone today, but the day's going to come when you will be alone. You're not going to be married forever. You're not going to have your kids forever. You're not going to be in the position that you may think, well, I have the companion I have now. But the day's going to come, it's going to happen to all of us, when we are going to realize we're alone, and now what do I do? Now what do I do with this emptiness? What do I do? And it's not so much having companions. I'll find you 2 or 3 companions or 10 companions. You can come to church, but you can feel very alone still. It's finding someone that you can love. When you've received another loved one, you will not feel alone, and this giant will not intimidate you and hurt you. Well, Where do you find someone to love? Who is the one that you will find to love? Proverbs 18:24. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend that is closer than even the brother. Not so many friends that can bring ruin, but a real friend who sticks with us and hangs in there with us and is there for us. And who is this ultimate friend? Let's look at some verses. Psalm 68, verse 4 and 5. Sing to God, sing praises to him. Notice all this praise. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. Notice what he says here. He's a father of the fatherless. Because what is a fatherless person? They are alone. They are vulnerable. They are isolated. And God says, I am the father for the fatherless, and I'm the judge. I'm the ruler. I'm the watcher. I'm the protector of the widows. And who are the widows? Who are alone, who are vulnerable, who are isolated. This is how he's described. Psalm 146, the Lord protects the stranger. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. Exodus 22, verse 21, you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphans. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Can you believe this is in the Bible? I mean, this is in the Bible. Look what he's saying. Remember what you were. Remember when you were in Egypt. You were alone. Imagine what they did to you. Imagine the harassment they did to you. Imagine throwing you into Egyptian prison. Imagine them killing your firstborn as Moses was trying to be killed. Remember how you were oppressed. Remember how you felt hurt. Remember how you felt like a stranger. Imagine how you felt afflicted. Don't you afflict the widow. Don't you afflict the orphan who are alone, who are alone. If you afflict them at all, I'm going to kill your husband and your wife, and then I'll make you alone. I'll make you alone. Why? Because God is the friend of the fatherless and the widow. God is the father of the fatherless. And he is, you know what it says in Isaiah? Thy husband is thy maker. Thy husband is thy maker. In James chapter 1, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. But notice, what is religion in the sight of God? Why? Because God is the Father and God is the God to the orphans and the widows. You and I, even while we have our companions, but even more so when you have this sense of loneliness, you and I have to cultivate a new loved one, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus who is our new lover. Jesus who is the lover of our soul. Jesus who loves us. Jesus who will commune with us. And God says, I have a special commitment to people who are alone. I have a special commitment to the fatherless and the widow because I know there's a giant coming into their land. There's going to be a hurt. There's going to be an emptiness. And I need to go and fulfill that. Look what Jesus said in John 14. I will ask the Father and he will send you another helper that he may be with you forever. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Why? Why? Because if they were isolated and alone, they would have no ability to face tomorrow. No, under oppositions from the Romans, from the Jews. But he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send you, notice what he said there, a helper. A helper. Remember what it said in Genesis 2? A helpmeet. And you know, this is the Holy Spirit. And the word is called paraclete. And you know what the word means? To walk alongside. You know, if you ever go to Eastern Europe, If you ever go to Eastern Europe, you'll often see two men or two women, definitely husband and wives. But my mother used to always love clutching hands with her arms with her sister, Aunt Reggie, my aunt, Aunt Rose, Aunt Jenny. And they would just clutch hands and they would walk. And that's a picture of what it is to walk with Jesus, to walk in this Holy Spirit who walks alongside of us, walks alongside, not ahead of us, not behind us, not tagging, not pulling at us, but walking alongside. I'm going to send you one that will walk alongside with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you, and the Holy Spirit will come to you, and he will make his life in you. Look, Jesus said this, John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode with him. We will set up our home with you to keep you company, to commune with you, to talk with you, to listen to you, to relate to you. We will come and make our home with you. But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, they will not scorch you, nor will the flame burn you. For I am your God, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place, since you are precious in my sight. I mean, listen to these words. Listen to these words. You're not going to go through it alone. I'm going to make my home in you. I will send the Spirit of God. You won't be orphans. You won't be isolated. I will be your new lover. Since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other people in exchange for your life. Do not fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you also from the west. Isaiah 54. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your husband is your maker. There it is. Your husband is your maker. Who's my husband now? My husband's gone. My wife. Who's my husband? Well, I need a wife, Lord. I'll be your wife. I need a companion, Lord. I'll be your companion. I'm alone here in Iraq. I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I'll be Jesus, lover of my soul. What a friend we have in Jesus. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. The God of all the earth. Let me read to you what, again, the writer says here. Listen to these words. There was once an ad played in a Kansas newspaper. This is true. I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without a comment for $5. That was an ad in the paper. Sounds like a hoax, doesn't it? But the person was serious. Did anybody call? You bet. It wasn't long before this individual was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pang of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to try anything for a half an hour of companionship. God knows, my friend, and God does care. Please believe that. He not only knows and cares, he understands. He is touched. He is moved. Enter into every pulse of anguish. Entering into every pulse of anguish. He longs to sustain and be near you. In the strangest grip of Golgotha, now follow this principle. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced the maximum impact of loneliness. For an undisclosed period of time, the Father forsook him. His friends had already fled. One had betrayed him, and now his own Father turned away. In the bottomless agony of that moment, our Lord cried out. He literally screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was alone. The loneliness of those dark moments as our Savior carried our sins cannot be adequately pictured on paper. Cold print of this page cannot convey it. But is it any wonder that Jesus Christ is now able to sympathize and enter into your loneliness? That's powerful. Jesus knew what it was to be alone. He felt the ultimate loneliness. You know what hell is? You know what hell is really? You know what the ultimate thing of hell is? It's not burning. Hell is the place where you are separated totally from God. That's what hell is. There's no grace of God. There's no mercy of God. There's no tenderness of God. There's no common grace of God. Hell is, the reason hell is hell is because it's all devoid of anything that is God. That's what hell is, totally, and that's what Jesus experienced. That's what Jesus was totally alone. And now he can sympathize with your loneliness. Is it any wonder that he is now able to sympathize and enter as we go into this war against this giant called loneliness? Those who bear the scars of battle need no explanation of the pain, only in the invitation to ask Jesus to minister and to heal. When we are lonely, we need an understanding friend. Jesus is the one who sticks closer than a brother. When we are lonely, we need strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Jesus is the one who, Paul said, strengthens me. When we are lonely, we need to lift up our eyes into ourselves. We need to lift up our eyes off of ourselves, because Jesus is the founder and finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, who refused to succumb. Jesus would say, before, none but the lonely heart can feel my anguish. But Jesus would say, none but the trusting heart can know my presence. Can know my presence. My friend, how do you cultivate this? You talk to Jesus. Very simple. You talk to Jesus. You know, I get to the point sometimes that I don't actually pray anymore in silent. My mind gets sometimes too distracted. I pray out loud. I pray out loud. So I'm not distracted. So I'm actually thinking about Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when you talk to Jesus? Jesus talks to you. Jesus talks to you. I love driving home Sunday night after a concert, because there's nothing to look at. It's all dark outside, and Jesus is right at my right side, and Jesus has a lot of things to talk to me about. Talk to somebody who loves you instead of the newspaper, instead of the television. You know, Tom Brokaw can't talk to you. He can't. The guy in the newspaper can't talk to you. That's why it's one way. That's why it doesn't fulfill anything. It doesn't fulfill anything. You got to cultivate talking to Jesus Christ. Literally. Do the things that will please Jesus Christ. What would please Jesus Christ? What would be pleasing to him? What could we do together this day? Why don't you go visit somebody? Why don't you go and be a blessing to somebody? Because if you think about what you've lost and what you don't have, you're just going to think about yourself and it gets worse. Jesus, take my arm. Let's go today and do something. What would you like to do today, Jesus? Think of that. What would you like to do? I sure would like to call up Dolores Wren and pray with her. What would you like to do today? Why don't I go and take Mr. Jensen, Adele's husband. I'm going to go and take him, Glenn. I'm going to go and take him for lunch. He's at home caring for his wife. I'm going to just go. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? My friend, you don't have loneliness anymore. You have someone who you love, and you're doing loving things with the one whom you love. In fact, Jesus is really bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know what it is when we come to Jesus Christ? I will put my spirit inside of you. We will come and make our home in you. The exact same thing that it was in Genesis chapter 2. You become spirit of spirit, flesh of flesh, bone of my bone, learning together, isolated together, understanding together. I know our time is going, but I want to just take a few more minutes. Listen with me. You know, Jesus, whatever this idiot is writing today about this Da Vinci Code, you know, there's this whole heresy going out that Jesus married Mary Magdalene and had children. Okay. Jesus never got married. Jesus came to please his Father. And when Jesus lived, as we call this one solitary life, right? As Jesus lived this one solitary life, He was alone. He had companions. He had the disciples. He had his mother, yes. He had a father, yes. He had sisters and brothers. But what did Jesus cultivate? He cultivated his relationship with his heavenly Father. That's what he did. Because eventually, his brothers didn't believe in him. Ultimately, the disciples forsook him. Ultimately, his mother wasn't there in his greatest need. And all he needed and all he had, alone, alone, alone. And what did Jesus always kept saying? I do all the things that please my Father. Remember when he was at the well in Samaria and they were bringing him food? And they said they went to get food and they said to him, Master, why don't you eat? He says, I got food you don't know about. And someone said, when did anyone bring him food? My food is to do the will of him who sent me. You understand what Jesus is cultivating? Jesus is cultivating his relationship with his Father because ultimately he knew he would be alone. He would be alone. My friend, the way you kill giant loneliness, maybe your wife has left you. Maybe you've buried a husband. Maybe you're in Iraq. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're there. My friend, you cultivate the lover of your soul. You cultivate a friend who sticks close to the brother, Jesus Christ, who will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. I want to close. Our time is going with this final picture. Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. Now, I want you to think about being alone reading this. I want you to think about, think about being in Papua New Guinea, a missionary. Think about you're a widower, you're a widow. Think about a soldier. Right now, you're a soldier in Iraq. Think about you're in prison. You've done things that are wrong. You've committed your life to Christ, but you still got to pay for what you did. Think about that. I want you to read that in that light. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and you know when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. And you are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it. You have enclosed me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Surely such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. And if I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will become night, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, there are many people lonely in this world. They may have friends, they may have booze, they may have immorality, but they are empty and lonely, and only Jesus Christ can fill it. And we come to you this morning that you would, for people that are gripping and struggling with this, that have a real giant who sits in their living room and says, welcome back, you're alone, aren't you? I pray, Lord, we pray for them this morning, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a more powerful way to them than to us, that they would cultivate in a serious way, if they're really serious of killing this giant, not just filling their time with movies and videos and Tom Brokaw and newspaper, but they would really fill their time with cultivating the lover of their soul, Jesus Christ. Father, give us this strength. How much more is the greatness of the companionship that you have for us than anything else in this world? We're going to spend eternity with you. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Thank you again for your blessing upon us. I pray your blessing on your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.